This is The Art of Saying No, written by Priya Shankaran, read for you by Heather Trent. Introduction. I spent the first decade of my working life next to people who were dying. Oncology floors teach you a lot of things, but the one that surprised me most was how often I'd sit with a woman in her last weeks of life and hear some version of the same sentence. I should have said no more. I should have said no to the in-laws who treated me like staff. I should have said no to the promotion that ate my 40s. I should have said no to my sister and her crisis du jour. None of these women were unloved. None of them were lazy or unkind. They were, almost without exception, the people other people called when something needed handling. And in the quiet at the end, what they grieved was not what they hadn't done. It was what they had done without ever choosing to. I left bedside nursing 15 years ago and went back to school for psychology. I now run a coaching and therapy practice that mostly serves women in three fields: healthcare, law, and tech. They are surgeons, partners at firms, engineering directors, hospital administrators. They are, by any objective measure, formidable. They negotiate eight-figure deals, run trauma codes, manage budgets that would make small countries jealous. And almost every single one of them comes to me because she cannot, for the life of her, tell her mother that she's not coming for Thanksgiving. I want to say something at the start of this book that you probably won't hear in most of the other ones on the shelf. Most of the books about saying no were written by people who didn't have a hard time saying no in the first place. You can usually tell by paragraph 3. There's a brightness to the prose, a kind of cheerful tactical confidence, the rhythm of someone who has never lain awake at 2 in the morning replaying a 4-second pause in a conversation with their boss. The advice in those books isn't wrong exactly. It's just rehearsed by someone who never needed it. Reading it can feel a little like getting swimming lessons from a person who has never been afraid of water. I have been afraid of the water. I grew up in a Tamil household in central New Jersey, where the highest virtue was usefulness and the second highest was not embarrassing your mother. I learned to read a room before I learned to read a book. I knew how to hold my expression neutral when an aunt insulted my hair. I knew that the way you got loved in my family was to be the one who didn't make any trouble. By the time I was 23, I was a charge nurse on a 30-bed unit, picking up everyone else's shifts and lying to my friends about why I couldn't come out. I was good at saying yes. I was so good at it that I didn't know I was doing it. That's what I want to look at with you in this book. Not the cartoon version of the problem, where some hapless person can't refuse a second slice of cake. The real version. The version where you are extraordinarily competent, and that competence has become a trap. Where the better you are at handling things, the more things land on you, and the less anyone in your life can quite imagine you ever being the one who needs handling. The version where saying no doesn't feel like an exercise in assertiveness. It feels like a betrayal of the entire architecture of who you are. High-functioning people struggle to refuse for reasons that aren't well served by the standard advice. We are not, most of us, lacking confidence. We are not, most of us, unaware of what we want. The blockage is more interesting than that. It tends to sit at the intersection of three things, and I'll be coming back to all three throughout the book. The first is identity. A great deal of what you think of as your personality is actually a set of strategies you developed very young to stay safe and stay loved. And a lot of those strategies are made of yes. To say no is, in some hidden chamber of the brain, to risk no longer being you. The second is competence. You are objectively able to do the thing being asked of you. Most other people in the room aren't, or at least aren't, to your standard. The math of refusal is therefore harder for you than it is for someone less capable, because your no carries a real cost to the project, and you can see that cost in detail. The third is fluency. You can imagine, with sickening clarity, exactly how the other person will feel when you turn them down. You can write the script of their disappointment in your head before the words have left your mouth. You feel it as if it were happening to you, because in a sense it is. None of those three pressures are going to be solved by a clever phrase. You can memorize every script in the canon. I'm at capacity right now. That doesn't work for me. Let me get back to you. And you'll still freeze when your sister calls crying about your father's hospital bill. The scripts are not the problem. The architecture under the scripts is the problem. So this book is going to do something different. We're going to look at where your particular inability to refuse came from, because yours is not the same.